did you know that? The culture there is, the ethics behind that are, sit back and be thoughtful with some of our highlighted interviews on Moncrief. Now, last year, the Natural Environment Research Council in the UK asked the public to vote on a name for their new ship. Unfortunately for them, the winning choice was Boaty McBoatface. They opted to name their craft after David Attenborough instead. But as a consolation prize, a small submarine did get the name, and Boaty McBoatface is about to undertake its maiden voyage off the coast of Chile. On the line from there is Professor Alberto Garabato. Good afternoon, Alberto.
Good afternoon.
Now, could you start by describing for us Boaty McBoatface? What kind of a craft is it?
Well, Boaty McBoatface is an autonomous underwater vehicle. So it's basically an unmanned submarine. That means there's no one there driving the submarine. It measures, I guess, about the length of a tall person. And it can go down to depths of 6,000 meters. Now, on Boaty McBoatface, we have a number of measuring devices that can sense the temperature and salinity of the water, also the speed of the water, the current. And in addition to that, we can also measure the intensity of the turbulence that is happening in the water.
And Boaty McBoatface's maiden voyage, so to speak, is in the Orkney Passage. Could you tell us about that?
That's right. Yes. I guess the background to this expedition is that it's a pretty not very well-known fact about global warming. So around 30% of the global warming that Earth is experiencing is actually happening in the ocean below 2,000 meters. And those deep waters in the ocean first sink to the basal ocean close to Antarctica. So after they sink to the bottom of the ocean, those waters have to spread to the rest of the globe, and they do so by navigating around and across submarine mountains in various places. And when they do that, they flow in submarine streams that are a little bit like rivers at the surface of the Earth. Now, as these rivers flow towards the equator from Antarctica, as I said, they encounter various mountains and so on. And when they flow through those mountains, they form rapids and waterfalls, very much like a river on the surface of the Earth. And in forming those rapids and waterfalls, they experience a lot of turbulence. And that turbulence fluxes or transports heat into those waters from the upper layers of the water above, which are warmer. Now, the background, so I guess the rest of the background is that this global warming that the deep ocean is experiencing, we don't really know why it's happening, but the current evidence that we have suggests that it's linked to changes in winds over the Southern Ocean. As the winds over the Southern Ocean become stronger, we think that these streams of deep water also become faster, and that the turbulence, the enhanced turbulence that they experience as they go through these mountain ranges, will lead to increased transport of heat from the upper layers of the ocean into these deep waters, and therefore warming. So what we're trying to do in this voyage is to identify the processes that we think connect winds over the Southern Ocean with warming of bottom waters. And Boaty plays a central role in this endeavor because it will allow us to obtain very detailed measurements of how these waters flow through the Orkney Passage, which is a particular valley, I guess, between mountains in the deep Southern Ocean.
So what will Boaty be measuring when it's down in the Orkney Passage?
So we're going to send Boaty on essentially a ride along one of the submarine streams of bottom water. And it will be measuring the speed of the current. It will also be measuring how the temperature of the water changes as it flows through the passage. And it will, in addition, be measuring the turbulence of the water. Because the turbulence is key, we think, in transporting heat from the upper layers of the ocean to the deep ocean.
Now, when it's underwater and it is unmanned, is there somebody in the ship, you know, on the surface of the ocean driving it?
It's not. The boat is not actually driven. What we do is we program it to perform a particular mission. So we give it a set of waypoints. We basically tell it, go here first, and when you get there, go to the next point over here, and then after that, go over there, and so on. So we give a set of instructions, and Boaty tries to follow those instructions. Now, when you are down there, it's a hazardous environment, and it, you know, body doesn't have many points of reference to guide itself. So it's basically working on death reckoning, trying to use its internal compass to decide in which direction it's going and where exactly it probably is. So I guess occasionally you know, things could happen that lead to body finding itself in a place where it shouldn't be. And in those occasions, body has a set of routines in this program to identify dangers and try and surface to the surface of the ocean if it encounters one of those dangers. So the idea is that we don't want to we want to minimize the risk of losing body in any of these missions.
As I understand it as well, there is a future mission planned for Boaty where, is it under the Arctic he's going to travel?
Yes, so one of the ambitions that that we have is to eventually, in a few years, make Boaty, or actually a new vehicle that is designed on the basis of the current Boaty, cross the Arctic, so from the European side to the American side, under the ice. And there are many different challenges involved in doing this. So one of them is endurance. It's quite hard to construct an unmanned submersible that will travel for such over such a long ways, a long distance. And another one is orientation. So because obviously when you are in a region that is covered by sea ice, you can't surface to use GPS and find out exactly where you are. So you have to use other ways of guiding the vehicle. And some of those may involve looking at the depth of the ocean, and if Boaty has a map in its memory of what the depth of the ocean should look like, and it can measure the depth of the ocean, it might, you know, we might be able to decide a way in which Boaty can infer its position from the measured ocean depth. So that's still under development, but we think within the next few years, we hope we'll be able to do that.
God, that's extraordinary. So does Boaty need much in the way of preparation before you send it down?
Yes, so there are months of work involved in preparing Boaty for any of these missions, even though the missions are relatively short. They just last a few days. A lot of work is required to get all the hardware up to speed and ensure that the programming is robust. So I guess any one of these missions that Boaty does is a little bit like sending a rover to Mars or to the moon. Once the vehicle is out there in the hazardous environment that is remote to us, it's very hard to do anything about it. So you have to make sure that, you know, all the pieces work and that you minimize the risks of things going wrong.
And you all call it Boaty.
Yes, so I guess you know how the story of Boaty came about. So originally the idea is that the UK was going to build this new icebreaker, and they were soliciting the public opinion on what the name of the icebreaker should be, and Boaty McBoathfish was the most popular name, perhaps unsurprisingly. And I guess it was decided that, that wasn't a very fitting name for an icebreaker, but that it would be fun to give that name to one of the manned submersibles that we have. So I think as scientists, you know, we were amused like everyone else by the process, but we are generally very happy now that this process has attracted so much public attention to our work. And that, you know, in this way we can attract public interest into the work that we're doing in relation to climate change.
Well, indeed. And Boaty, as I understand it, has its own website.
Yes, I believe people have been working on producing a website for Boaty and all sorts of materials for public dissemination of science. So I believe there's a comic coming along at some point. So I think once that's ready, it should be a lot of fun to interact with the public in that way.
Professor Alberto Garabato is from the National Oceanography Centre in Southampton at the University of Southampton. Alberto, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
More interviews that make you go, on Moncrief, weekdays from 1:30.